continue with the series of teachings that we started a few weeks ago. We still have two or three other teachings to do before we round up that series on Think Like Jesus. Last Sunday, we started looking at thinking like Jesus, endure suffering. We were not able to finish, so we said we will conclude it this Sunday, and before we move to a new topic, our Upper Sunday, by the grace of God. Next Sunday, we are expecting Brother Philip Chima to come and join us to minister. I hope you all remember him, the missionary from Capro. He will be around next week, Sunday, by the grace of God. So I want you to invite all your friends and all the people that you know need to hear more about missions. Now, quick recap about what we shared. We mentioned a few weeks ago that it is only on two occasions that the Bible specifically says that Jesus Christ left us an example. If you are looking for what example did Jesus Christ leave for the church that we should follow, there are only two instances. The first one is in John chapter 13 verse 15, where Jesus Christ washed the feet of his disciples and he says, I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you. So the first example that Christ left for us is the example of a servant. Humility. The willingness and the preparedness for you to serve other people. So that you don't come to the church and start thinking that you are a big man. There is no big man in the church of Jesus Christ. There are only servants. That's why when he asked his disciples to pray, he said they should pray. The harvest is plentiful, but who are few? The laborers are few. He didn't say the harvest is plentiful, the managers are few, or the executives are few. It is the laborers. A laborer can work anywhere, and when he finishes working, he can sleep anywhere, and the food of laborer is what? Bread and water. Okay, people come to church pretending they are executives, behaving like they are executives. They are not operating in the spirit of Christ. That is the spirit of the world. But you see much of it in the church now, so don't join them. Be willing to become a servant. Because if God cannot put you down, he cannot lift you. It's only those whom God is able to humble that God is able to promote. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Then the second example, we found it in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 21, where the Bible says, Christ hath also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. So the second example that Jesus Christ left for you and I is the example of suffering. You must be ready that as a Christian, you are going to suffer. Right now, the church has rejected suffering. Nobody wants to suffer anymore in the church. So everybody is trying to cut corners like the world. And you don't know the difference anymore between Christians and unbelievers. Okay, even they pop all our songs. There is the popular one which we mentioned, no matter what I face, when trouble comes my way, I will praise your name. That's what the songwriter wrote. Christians have changed it. No matter what I face, when success comes my way, they change that trouble for success because they don't want trouble. And there is no way you can be a servant of Christ and say you will not get into trouble. He said a servant is not above his master. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. In Acts chapter 14 verse 22, Apostle Paul says, we shall with much tribulation make our way into the kingdom of God. Listen, what is waiting at the end of your Christian race? What is waiting is so enormous. It is so mighty, it is so awesome that Satan is not going to open his eyes and just watch you walk into it. He knows. The only place you have seen is the world. Am I correct? Satan has seen heaven. He has seen hell. He has seen planet Earth. So he knows the difference between the three realms. You only see one. He knows what is waiting in heaven. He knows what is in hell. So he says to himself, I'm not the only one going to suffer. If God kicked me out of heaven, then you are not going to enter the place. That's all. Every attack that you have, every problem that you have in your life has only one goal: to take your soul to hell. Satan is not interested in your money, whether you are rich or you are poor, whether you have children or you don't have children, whether you are employed or you are not employed. He doesn't care. If your problem is money, Satan is willing to give you money. That's the secret behind money cult. A man goes to the devil, he makes a deal with him. Give me all the money I'm going to spend. And the devil says, sign. When you die, your soul comes to me. And the fellow signs, and the guy becomes a billionaire. And he spends money recklessly for 20 years. At the end of 20 years, he dies. Satan comes, he collects the soul. That's why Jesus says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So the most important thing is your soul. We mentioned it before. Always think in terms of your soul. If you are always thinking in terms of your soul, you will not backslide, you will not fall into sin. But you see, we are being taught by churches now, by pastors now, to always think in terms of money. In terms of money, in terms of money, breakthrough, promotion, anointing, prosperity. That's what people are thinking about, not knowing that they are on their way to hell. You will not go to hell in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So, Jesus Christ already made it clear. If any man will follow me, let him deny himself and take up what? His cross, daily. And what does the cross stand for? The cross stands for three things. It stands for shame. It stands for suffering. It stands for death. So it's like Jesus saying, if any man will follow me, let him carry shame, carry suffering, carry death, and follow me. Because if you are not ready to be put to shame, you are not ready to suffer, you are not ready to die, forget it. So he says, he who will seek to save his life will lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake, the same will save it. So if you are a Christian, if you don't have that mindset, the first time any tribulation, any persecution comes, you backslide. That's why Christians, we say it's temptation, it is the devil. It is not the devil. It's because they are careless. They are careless because they don't know. Are you following along with me? Some of you are going through testy situations now. A lot of options will come your way. Options like you compromise, people will tell you it doesn't matter. Christianity is not as sad as that, though. There is grace, it doesn't matter. The Bible says, shall we continue in grace that sin might abound? What is the answer? God forbid. You can't say you are going to be committing sin intentionally and then you say that God will forgive me. He will not. You know what you are doing. Are you following along with me? He will not. You know what you are doing. You did it intentionally. No, you can't. Go and study Hebrews chapter 6. You sin intentionally and you say there is grace somewhere. There is no grace. You'll be shocked. So, we looked at why will God, who is merciful, who is loving, will permit his children to suffer? Why will God put suffering as part of the package of salvation? So we looked at some examples, some points very quickly. Number one, to teach us obedience. That's point number one. To teach us obedience. Remember when we were doing the teaching on obedience, that our problem is that we are naturally disobedient. Everyone that is born of Adam into this world is naturally a rebel. We inherited it from Adam. It's in our blood. Have you ever seen anybody anywhere teach a small child how to tell a lie? Have you ever seen anybody say, Junior, come, let me teach you how to tell a lie. Have you ever seen it? The only thing you do to a child is you teach them how to tell the truth. Right or wrong? They lie naturally. It's inborn. It's in the blood. They like every child disobeys naturally. Junior, don't go there. Junior goes right there. Junior, don't touch that chocolate. Junior goes and he eats the chocolate. Junior, I have told you so many times, if they don't give you anything, don't eat it. What did mommy say? Then you make him repeat it. Why? Who taught him how to disobey? It's in his blood. So to teach us obedience, God allows us to suffer. We looked at Hebrews chapter 5 verse 8, that even though Jesus was a son, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Are you following along with me? So suffering is not strange. If you are suffering today, nothing strange is happening to you. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 12 says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though something strange is happening to you. It's not strange. If you are a Christian, it's part of it. Are you following along with me? It's part of it. It is at that time that God is testing whether you are a true Christian or not. At that time. So that's the first thing, to teach you obedience. Number two, to know what is in your heart. True character is revealed under pressure. True character is revealed under pressure. Remember, there is a difference between character and personality. Personality is what you are when people are present. Character is what you are when people are not there. Character is the real you. God is not interested in your personality, because you can deceive people with your personality. God is interested in your character. And your real character will come to the surface the day you are offended, or the day something happens that you don't like. When you are pushed to the wall, your character will come out. Are you following along with me? So God allows you to suffer because he is the one who is pushing you to the wall. He wants to see your character. I remember what he did to Abraham. Abraham had been working with God for 25 years before he gave birth to Isaac, right? From the age of 75 to the age of 100. Then when Isaac was 25 years old, God now called Abraham, go and sacrifice Isaac. Now every promise that God made for Abraham was dependent on Isaac. So Abraham cherished Isaac so much, God now told him, go and kill Isaac. Why? Did God want human sacrifice? No. It was not until Abraham got to Mount Moriah and he placed Isaac on the altar and took the knife that God said, stop, don't kill him. Now I know that you fear the Lord. What is God testing? Does Abraham fear me? After 15 years that a man has been in a personal, intimate relationship with God, God still wants to test the man after 50 years. How many years have you been born again that you are complaining that things are not working? Is somebody feeling along with me?
Yes.
How many years have you been in the Lord? God is still testing you. So when things go wrong in your life, remember what James chapter 1 verse 2 says, beloved, count it all joy when you go through diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. God is testing you. He's testing you. Number three, to teach you patience. I just mentioned that. The third reason why God allows you to go through crisis, things are not working, you don't have money, you don't have a job, in fact, you don't even know where you are going to get the meal for this afternoon, house rent is due, you don't know where it is going to come from, children, school fees must be paid, you don't know where it is going to come from, they are drawing you from the right hand at home, they are drawing you from the left at home, you don't know where to get the job, everything just seems to be confused. And somebody tells you to come on evangelism. I say, what kind of evangelism is that? I've prayed, I've fasted, I've done everything. God has not done anything. You think God doesn't know what you are going through? He knows. So why hasn't he moved? It's not yet time. You've not learned your lesson. Because by me, I say, who's going for evangelism? Leave me job. What evangelism is that? You failed the test. So he will repeat the test again. God, pray, I pray you will not fail again. Because unless you pass, there is no progress with God. He doesn't do examination or ritual. There is no examination malpractice with God. You either pass or you are not going anywhere. And listen, the receipt exam of God is always tougher than the first exam. So if God sets an exam for you and you fail it, you will write that exam again, but it's going to be much tougher. And if God teaches you something through a friend, the first thing he does is, let me give you one strategy about God. When God wants to teach you a lesson, he will send a friend to you. He will send somebody who loves you to you. Maybe your mother, maybe your father, maybe your best friend, maybe your pastor. They will tell you, don't do this thing, no. This is what you are supposed to do. This is how you are supposed to go. He will use your friend to talk to you. If you reject that lesson from your friend, you will still learn that lesson. Are you following along with me? But God will now send you an enemy. Somebody will teach you that same lesson at a very painful cost to you. Somebody following along with me? A lot of people are saying that people oppose them. People don't like me. Some people don't like you. Somebody has taught you that lesson friendly. You rejected it. The next person who is going to teach you is going to be a wicked person. But you will learn it. If you don't, except you are not God's child. And that brings us to the next point. Except you are not God's child. If you are God's child, God will deal with you. Hebrews chapter 12. You see, the mistake we are making in the church today, and we need to correct it, is that we are taking everything of God to be love, mercy, goodness, grace, compassion. So the only thing that people are emphasizing now is God is love, God is merciful, God is compassionate, God is all forgiving. Of course, why wouldn't the pastor be saying God is compassionate? Why wouldn't the pastor be teaching every time grace, 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 when the pastor himself is committing adultery? The man can't talk judgment. Are you following along with me? A man who is living in sin cannot mount the pulpit and start telling the people about judgment. His conscience will be pricking him. He would rather be telling you about grace and mercy. And is it the man who is taking church money, who is stealing it, to buy suit for himself, to buy cars for himself, the money that is contributed for soul winning, he's using it to build a mansion for himself, and you expect him to come and say, God is going to judge every thief? He will not. He will tell you, God will have mercy on every thief. So we are emphasizing only one part of God. Listen, brethren, the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. You know how meek a lamb is. The Lamb of God is also Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord, the man of war. The Prince of Peace, you know who he is? He's also the consuming fire. The same person. I pray you will only know him as the Prince of Peace. Because he's also the same person that is taking some people to heaven and putting them in eternal bliss and joy. He's the same person who is taking some people and throwing them into hell, into eternal fire. So don't misunderstand God at all. So don't play games with him at all. Don't joke with God at all. Don't joke with him. It's a serious matter. He loves. He's also full of wrath. You know what wrath is? Suppressed anger. Bottled anger. Anger that has been building up, building up, building up, building up. Then one day it explodes. Boom! That's wrath. It's also the same person. Hebrews chapter 12. Are we there, please? Yes. Verses 5. I read very quickly. Verses 5 to 12. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with what? As with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the fathers of spirit and live? For they verily for a few days chastise us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. If God is dealing with you, it is because he takes you to be a son. The thing that you do that God will knock your head, you will see somebody else do that same thing and he will go scot-free. And you will turn to God, yay! But why are you knocking my head now? See what Joe is doing. Joe is doing the same thing and you are not saying anything. Did God say Joe is his son? Do you understand, sir? Hello, am I communicating?
Yes, sir.
When things are tough in your life and it's like there is no way out, and you see an unbeliever, things are working out, don't envy that unbeliever. You are different persons. You, your own father is dealing with you. He has said why? So that you can share in his holiness. Huh? A man commits adultery, he gets away with it. You commit adultery, all hell breaks loose. Trouble starts here, and you start wondering, but I'm not the only one now. How about other people are doing this thing? You want to be like the other people? Okay, go now. Go. 1 million years from now, 10 million years from now, you will regret that you chose to be like the other people. It's not a regret that you will regret one day and it will go. 1 billion years, you are still regretting. So is it not better to endure the suffering for a few years? Are you following along with me? So that you can enjoy for eternity. That is what God is aiming for. That's why you are suffering. If there is anybody here who is suffering, that is why you are suffering. God is dealing with you as with son. Please, I want to encourage you. In every situation that you get to, please, first and foremost, see the Almighty God. Don't see the devil. First and foremost, see God. Don't see the devil. Many people are developing a mindset that the moment something goes wrong, it is the devil. It is wrong. Whatever happens, first go and ask God. If something is not working out in your life, please, I expect you by now, if you have been worshiping in this congregation for at least 1 month, to know that if things are not working out in your life, you go on your knees and you ask the Almighty God very respectfully, Heavenly Father, why am I in this situation? What are you telling me? What do you want me to do? Or am I doing something that I'm not supposed to do? Go back to God. Not that you go to the presence of God. You say, Jehovah, what is going on? What is going on? What's happening? All these things that are happening, are you not going to do anything? You are being rude. He won't answer you. Because even if you talk to a manager like an ordinary man, he will get very offended. Who do you think you are talking to? Am I your mate? But if you go respectfully, Heavenly Father, I'm going through this and this and this and this. I do not understand why you are permitting it. Is that something you are telling me? Because for Satan to even lift his hand to smite you, God must tell him, go ahead. Do you agree with that? If God does not say go ahead, no demon can come near you. So if God allows Satan to torment you, then something is wrong. So if you go to God and you sort it out with God, you see that the devil will go. Did somebody learn something there?
Yes,
don't develop the spirit of fear. It is the spirit of fear that sees the devil in every situation. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Have faith, have trust in God that whatever is happening to you, God is in that situation. Just have that assurance that even if I don't have money right now, God is with me in this situation. I remember the story of Joseph. Joseph was sold as slave to the house of Potiphar, right? And the Bible says God was what? God was with him. Then from there, he was taken unfairly into the prison. Even in the prison, the Bible says God was with him. So whatever you are going through, you should have that assurance, God is with me. It will work out for my good. Amen.
Amen.
And it will work out for your good. Amen.
Amen.
Number 5. To show that you are a partaker of Christ's suffering. There are so many Bible passages we could read on this one, but we do not have time. But very quickly, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Remember, the first reason we gave why God allows us to suffer is one, to teach us obedience. Number 2, to know what is in our heart. Number 3, to teach us patience. Number 4, to discipline us so that we can partake in his holiness. Now we are looking at number 5, to show that we are partakers of the suffering of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. Are we there?
Yes.
It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also do what?
Live.
We shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also what?
Reign
with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. So those who are going to live with Jesus are those who are prepared to die with Jesus. The same way that Peter died with him, Paul died with him, Timothy died with him, Luke died with him, John did not die. He was the only one who was not killed. But before he escaped, they put him into a pot of boiling oil and tried to fry him alive. Miraculously, he escaped. James the lesser, James the greater, even Thomas the doubter, all of them were killed for the sake of Christ. Now, if God is not asking for your life yet, glory be to God. The time that you have now, use it to serve him. If you do not die with Jesus, or if you are not prepared to die with him, you cannot live with him. That's why Jesus says that whoso will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. That's what he's saying. So that even if the situation you are in gets to the point that it is going to cost you your life, God expects you to stand your ground. Are you flowing along with me? Expect you to stand your ground. Even if they want to kill you, they let them kill you. When you die, then you live. Then he says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. All of us want to reign. Reigning with Christ is not like reigning with Obama. It's not like sitting in the White House. I'm sure if they tell you to fast 40 days and 40 nights, at the end of the 40 days fasting, you will receive American visa to become advisor to President Barack Obama on African affairs. You will fast. Am I lying? You will fast. Even if you have never fasted before, you will fast. Say me, prophet, You mean that is what God is saying? I should just fast. If you just fast 40 days, you will receive a letter. God says he will give you that miracle. You will fast. Now, to sit with Jesus Christ, if you know the throne, what the throne of God is, that is the highest throne in the universe. That means you control everybody in the world, including President Obama. That means you control Goodluck Jonathan. You control the queen. You control all the kings. You control all the stars. You control all the galaxies. You control all the angels. That's what it means to reign with Christ. That is what is waiting for us. One of these days, we'll do a teaching on the beauty of heaven. You will see, God will open your eyes. You will see what heaven is like. You will lose interest in whatever is in this world. There is nothing in this world. This is not all this mud, all this quarter. There is nowhere you get to that there is any lasting beauty. Nowhere. I have gone around. You can't find it anywhere. If we give you a new Mercedes Benz or even a new Rolls Royce today, Silver Spirit, or we give you Rolls Royce Camargue today, 30 years from now, that car will be in the junkyard. Am I right or wrong?
Right.
To be in the junkyard. The glory will fade. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 4 says what God has reserved for you, you are called to an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not, reserved in heaven for you. Something is waiting for you, brother, and that your suffering today is the stepping stone to get to that place. So if you reject that suffering, you are losing something that money cannot buy. I want you to change your mindset. Probably you've been going to churches before. All they've been telling you all your years in church is that you will prosper. You will prosper. You will not suffer. You will not have pain. No sorrow. This year is your year of abundance. Since they've been telling you, selling stickers to you. 2001, my year of abundance. 2002, my year of overflowing prosperity. 2003, my year of overcoming. 2004, my year of breakthrough. How many breakthroughs have you? The only person breaking through is the person selling the sticker. Because that guy is doing real business and he's making money. That's the only person breaking through. And have the problem, and I'm asking you, have the problem stopped? No, you can't. There is no shortcut with God. Finally, this morning, because of time, what should be your attitude when you are going through crisis? What should be your attitude? Only one, thanksgiving. We will talk about thanksgiving later. Only one, thanksgiving. Only one, praises. Almighty God, I do not understand why I'm going through this situation. I don't have money now. I don't have a job. All my friends are mocking me. They are laughing at me. They say I'm a fool. They say I'm stupid. Even I myself, I call myself stupid because I don't know what to do anymore. I don't understand. But I just want you to know that I thank you. I just want you to know that I trust you. I just want you to know, Almighty God, I'm not complaining, no. I'm not grumbling. You can check my heart. I'm not grumbling at all. I'm quiet. I'm waiting because I know that you will raise me up. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your steadfast love. Then you pick a song. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. That is how you come out of crisis fast. Hey, we'll talk more. There are so many things we still need to teach. Is somebody playing along with me? That is how you come out of crisis. I shared with us, I mentioned it in passing, that there is something called wilderness experience for every child of God. Do you remember?
Yes.
And I said the duration of the wilderness experience, it is fixed by God. God can decide your wilderness experience will be 3 years. In those 3 years, nothing will work. Let every pastor that has anointing in Nigeria and borrow the ones from America, let them come lay hands on you and pray. Nothing will work until those 3 years are full. God sets the duration. Are you feeling along with me? You cannot shorten it. Pray, fast, cry, it will not reduce by 1 second. That 3 years must be full. But even though you cannot reduce it, you can extend it. You can make that 3 years 40 years. You can. That's why people keep going through some crisis and crisis and crisis and crisis, and they say it is ancestral covenant. What has your ancestor got to do with you? God says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. He has cut off from your ancestors. So the only way you can easily make sure that you don't suffer more than is necessary is to live in thanksgiving. Almighty God, thank you. Even though there is no money, thank you, Jehovah. There is no job, thank you, Almighty God. There is no house, thank you, Almighty God. I just want you to know I am grateful to you. Whether I live or I die, I am your property. Thank you, Almighty God. It's all those ones, Father, can't you see what I'm going through? Oh, nobody knows the trouble I see. Nobody knows my sorrow. Nobody. You are extending your wilderness experience. Finally. I'll take your question after me. I can't take it now. Just reserve it. Because I've already overshot the time by 5 minutes. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter. I hope I'm not making you sad. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We have some of the things that I'm sharing with you. Brethren, I learned it by experience, so, and it was not a very painful experience. So the mistakes that I made, don't make it, oh. Somebody flew along with me. Don't make it. At least you can use me as a bridge and get a combination of my experience and the word of God to avoid making some mistakes. Believe me, when things go wrong in your life, just begin to praise God. It will disappear. Believe me, it works faster than prayers. Praises, thanksgiving, it moves God faster than crying. Don't even cry. Don't go to the presence of God to cry. Don't cry at all. When you cry, you show that you don't have faith in your Father in heaven. And that causes spiritual problems. See, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. For our light affliction, the thing that you are going through, that you are saying, this thing will kill me, oh, God is calling it what? Light affliction. Say, I've not even touched him. He's already screaming. Say, for our light affliction, which is but for what? For a moment. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Can you see that? Verse 18. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Do you understand now? Do you understand, sir? What God is working through in your life is something that is heavy, exceeding weight of eternal glory. All these ones that you see, they are temporal. It will disappear a few years from now. Believe me, you won't see any skyscraper. When Jesus returns, everything, God says he will renovate the whole earth with fire. And then there will be no more sea. Water takes 75% of the surface of the earth. When Jesus returns, everything will disappear. There will be nothing called Atlantic Ocean, Pacific Ocean, Indian Ocean, Oceanic. They will all disappear. And then there will be land there. There will only be one river, the river of life, flowing out from the New Jerusalem. Brethren, you need to drink from that river. Amen?
Amen.
And those who are going to drink from that river will have gone through fire. The same way that Jesus went, you saw how he suffered before he entered into glory, you can't escape your own. Except you will not get to glory. You saw the way Paul suffered, You read about the suffering of Paul? Before he entered into glory, you can't escape it. If anybody tells you you will escape, that fellow is from the devil. Let's stop it there. We'll continue another day. Don't listen to the devil, my dear. Begin to learn endurance. Begin to learn endurance. Have the mindset, things can go wrong even when you have done nothing wrong. It doesn't mean you are a sinner. God is dealing with you as a son. Think like who?
Yes.
Like Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father Lord, we just want to thank you for this morning. Thank you, Jehovah, for your word. Thank you for what you have taught us. Thank you for your grace upon our lives. Your word has come to us fresh. We pray that your word will take root in our spirit and yield abundantly in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Eternal Rock of Ages, for everything. We just want to appreciate you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. May we rise for the benediction. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. For our light affliction, the thing that you are going through, that you are saying, this thing will kill me, oh, God is calling it what? Light affliction. Say, I've not even touched him. He's already screaming. Say, for our light affliction, which is but for what? For a moment. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Can you see that? Verse 18, why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Do you understand now? Do you understand, sir? What God is working through in your life is something that is heavy, exceeding weight of eternal glory. All these ones that you see, they are temporal. It will disappear a few years from now. Believe me, you won't see any skyscraper. When Jesus returns, everything, God says he will renovate the whole earth with fire, and then there will be no more sea. Water takes 75% of the surface of the earth. When Jesus returns, everything will disappear. There will be nothing called Atlantic Ocean, Pacific Ocean, Indian Ocean, Oceanic. They will all disappear. And then there will be land there. There will only be one river, the river of life, flowing out from the New Jerusalem. Brethren, you need to drink from that river. Amen.
Amen.
And those who are going to drink from that river will have gone through fire. The same way that Jesus went, you saw how he suffered before he entered into glory. You can't escape your own, except you will not get to glory. You saw the way Paul suffered. You read about the suffering of Paul before he entered into glory. You can't escape it. If anybody tells you you will escape, that fellow is from the devil. Let's stop it there. We'll continue another day. Don't listen to the devil, my dear. Begin to learn endurance. Begin to learn endurance. Have the mindset, things can go wrong even when you have done nothing wrong. It doesn't mean you are a sinner. God is dealing with you as a son. Think like who?
Yes.
Like Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father Lord, we just want to thank you for this morning. Thank you, Jehovah, for your word. Thank you for what you have taught us. Thank you for your grace upon our lives. Your word has come to us fresh. We pray that your word will take root in our spirit and yield abundantly in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Eternal Rock of Ages, for everything. We just want to appreciate you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
May we rise for the benediction.